Amen. Thanks, Jeff. I want to describe something to you that's very simple. In fact, if you have a coin in your pocket, you can pull it out, or maybe later you can look at it and see what I'm talking about. I know you can't see it from where you're sitting necessarily. But I'm going to describe this coin in two ways that seems like they're opposed to each other. I'm going to describe this coin in one way that it's a circle. Would you girls agree that it's a circle? Yeah, all coins are a circle. Now, I'm going to ask this question. Would you believe that the coin is a line? No, it just doesn't seem right. But if you look at it in a different way, take a coin the next time you have one out and look at it sideways like this, and you'll see that it looks like a line. How could this coin be a circle and a line, both being true statements at the same time? Well, the answer is because it just depends on how you look at the coin. The Bible has a lot of topics that if we look at it from one way, it looks like a circle. And we can look at that same topic another way. If we just turn it a different way, it looks like a line. But it's the same thing. It's the same topic. So the last 2 weeks, what I've been talking about, it started a couple weeks ago with God Bless the USA. Deuteronomy chapter 30, talking about God's blessings. And Moses was telling the people, choose life, choose blessings. And then last week we talked about the key to unlocking God's blessings. Well, today I'm going to talk about blessings one more time. I'm still looking at that same coin, but I'm looking at it sideways today. I'm looking at the way God describes blessings, and maybe I'm going to show you a way that it looks like a line, blessings do, like you've never seen before. For instance, like you've never seen a coin and thought, that's a line, as well as it's a circle. So let me start with just a quick example of something we're used to in terms of the topic of this is going to be called God's direct and indirect blessings. Direct and indirect blessings. If you've ever had a house built, or if you've ever had a major remodeling done, your contractor has given you a price which includes direct and indirect costs. When we get a quote from a contractor for anything, but we'll just take a house builder, we're only thinking of the direct costs. Okay, there's going to be materials and there's going to be labor. But do you know that the contractor has to include indirect costs in his quote? For example, there's overhead, there's equipment and supplies, insurance, FICA taxes, workers' comp, federal and state unemployment, vacation and fringe benefits if he has or she has employees. Those would all be indirect costs. And your final cost, you're going to be affected by the indirect and direct costs of the contractor. Well, I want to show you in the Bible how people are affected directly and indirectly with God's blessings. We're going to start with Noah chapter 6 and verses 7 through 9. Again, we all know the story of Noah, so this is just a real small picture, but it's going to make the point I'm wanting to make today. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry on the ground, even the birds in the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. Catch this part, though. But Noah found favor with the Lord. And this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah found favor in the eyes of God. And have you thought of it this way? Noah got direct blessings from God. His life was spared. All the people of the earth were to die, except because Noah was righteous, blameless, and walked in close fellowship, he was directly blessed by God, and God saved his life. But let's flip the coin a different point of view, a different way of looking at it. Do you realize that other people were indirectly blessed by God? His family. Mrs. Noah, do we ever read anything about her? Well, first of all, no. Now we know a little bit more about his sons, and then they have all had wives. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that Mrs. Noah or the three boys or the three daughter-in-laws were righteous, blameless, or walked in close fellowship with God. In other words, they were saved also from this horrible flood, not necessarily because of a direct blessing from God, but it sounds like it's an indirect blessing from God. Let's talk about Abraham, and I'm going to start with Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. In fact, all the verses I'm going to read about Abraham are from Genesis, just different chapters and verses. We remember, though, that Abraham was referred to, his name was Abram in the beginning, and then God later changed his name. So these verses refer to him as Abram. Genesis 12:7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now we're going to jump forward to 15, verse 1. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said, do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great. Also in chapter 15, verse 6 now, and Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous. Why? Because of his faith. So let me just stop to say this. Abraham got direct blessings from God. I think we can see that. If we know about his life, we can attest to that. But here's what maybe we haven't thought about. Millions and millions of people have received indirect blessings by being born into his family. In the Old Testament, hundreds of generations come from Abraham. In the Old Testament, it was the Hebrews, then the Israelites. Today, they're the Jews and beyond. I want to go to Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 to 9. Galatians is going to take us to well beyond a period of time when it was just the Jews. Listen to what the New Testament says about Abraham's direct blessings and the indirect blessings to others. In the same way, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. So that's a direct quote from what we just read in Genesis. Verse 7 goes on to say, the real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. And what's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said this, all nations will be blessed through you. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Do you see what just happened there? We can go back to the beginning of Abraham's life and God directly blessed him. But then we see that millions and really billions now have been indirectly blessed because we all now, it says, the scriptures look forward to the time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. We are the Gentiles. We're not direct descendants of Adam. And what makes us right? Our faith in Christ. Well, let's use another Old Testament a person that we know about, and that's Joseph. In Genesis chapter 39, there's a few verses I'll read. 2 through 6. 39, 2 through 6. And again, what we're looking for is we're looking for someone to have direct blessings from God, as well as are there others that get indirect blessings because of that person. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar, the guy he was working for, the man he was slave to, his master, Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything that he did. Well, this pleased Potiphar. So he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. So there was a blessing for Joseph in his situation he was in. And so he put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of the master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly. His crops, his livestock flourished. So, here's another promotion coming, another blessing directly from God. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing. Do you see the direct blessings from God to Joseph? But here's the cool thing, I think, is God blessed Potiphar and his whole household. Now, let's remember who Potiphar is. He's an Egyptian. He's not a Hebrew. He doesn't believe in the God that Joseph believes in. He's not what we would call today a Christian. He doesn't go to our church. But somehow it says that not only was Potiphar's household blessed, but things like his crops and his livestock flourished. Animals are being born left and right. We're going to have to build a new grain bin because Joseph is a slave to Potiphar and things are going so well. Potiphar was not even serving God, and yet he got indirect blessings from God because of Joseph. Okay, let me just talk in general. One more example from the Old Testament. We know that there were godly and ungodly kings throughout all of all the time that Israel was a nation, godly and ungodly kings. So we might ask the question, okay, what makes a king godly? And there were only a few of those. The majority of the kings that Israel had were ungodly. But what makes a king godly? Well, in the Bible, when it refers to a godly king, here's the words that are used. He did what was pleasing in the sight of the Lord. So the things we've been talking about the last 2 weeks from Deuteronomy chapter 30, love God, obey God, be committed to God. That's what these good kings did, these godly kings. And what happened? When a godly king was on the throne, not only did he get direct blessings from God, but the whole nation got blessed. Things went well for Israel, or whichever kingdom after they were divided, Israel and Judah. Whenever a godly king was on the throne, things went better for the people. So what makes a king ungodly? Well, again, this familiar phrase, the same sentence, is used in the Old Testament to describe an ungodly king. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. He wasn't loving God. He wasn't obeying God. He wasn't committed to God. And guess what happened to the people? They suffered. But we'll get into that more next week. I'm getting ahead of myself. Now, that's examples from the Bible, Old Testament, of direct and indirect blessings. You could see how that worked. Now, I want to fast forward to today, to right now. And how does this whole direct and indirect blessings from God work in our lives? Well, let me start with this first example. And that is children. We got a handful of young people here today. Children can be Christians. Now, let me start with this. Let me just say this. Christians in general will have direct blessings from God. Christians in general will have direct blessings from God. And then those around them will get indirect blessings from God, just like all the examples I shared from the Old Testament. So let's talk about what Christians are. Well, we know that Christians are people, children, middle-aged, older people. If you have asked Christ to be your Savior, if you're loving God, then obeying God and being committed to God, you're a Christian. But accepting Christ as your Savior, that's the key. A Christian child will get direct blessings, again, because they're Christian. Now, listen to this, though. Unsaved parents of a Christian child will get indirect blessings. Here's how they could get them. They will honor their parents more if they're obeying the Bible, obeying the Lord. They're more obedient, and then they have fewer conflicts with their parents or with others. If they're living a Christian life, according to the Bible, their unsaved parents will even get indirect blessings from God. How about a Christian wife? Well, and a Christian wife will get direct blessings from God, just like we've been saying all along. But even an unsaved husband gets some direct blessings because the wife loves her husband, prays for him, cares for him, is faithful to him. Christian teachers. Again, the fact that the man or woman teacher is a Christian, they get the direct blessings from God, however God wants to give them. Have you ever thought about this? The students get in of that Christian teacher, they might get indirect blessings from God. One example is a Christian teacher is going to look at their classroom and not just see a list of names on a roster, but they're going to see God's creation fills up that room. A Christian teacher, while they may not be able to teach the Bible or talk about God or have prayer in a school in the classroom, they can live out with their own examples of a godly life that will impact and bless the very students that they teach. Here's one, a Christian employer. Once again, the Christian employer is going to be blessed directly from God just because he's a Christian or she's a Christian. But the employees get indirect blessings because then they will likely be treated with respect. They will be treated fairly, and they will be treated equally. A Christian employer doesn't need to have the mandate from a law that says you need to treat people this way because they're already treating them in a good way because they're a Christian, and the employees get the indirect blessing. Here's one last example for today. Christian government leaders. This could be somebody that's on the town board of Caddis. This could be a township trustee, a mayor of a city, a governor of the state, a senator, a representative, the president of the United States. Take it to whatever level of government you want. If they're a Christian, I'm saying it again, they're going to receive direct blessings from God just for being a Christian. But did you realize that people under them, the people that they serve, they will get indirect blessings? Because those people should make godly decisions about the people that they do serve. And the higher we get in the government, there could be things like no war. I think about in the times of Israel. When they had godly kings, chances are they weren't at war. Or if they were at war, chances are they're going to have victory. Chances are there's peace and prosperity. Well, I'm going to finish up here in just a few minutes with these final thoughts. So if you're a Christian, you can expect God's blessings. If you're a child, if you're a young person, middle-aged, old person, if you're a Christian, you can expect God's blessings. Now, the caveat is this. I'm not saying that everything is perfect when you're a Christian, that you have no problems. All we have to do is read the book of Job. He had problems. He had lots of problems. And he did nothing wrong. That's what the Bible tells us. But what we also know is that even after all the bad things happened to him, God replaced everything he lost with double what he lost. What I'm saying is if you're a Christian, you can expect God's blessings. On the other hand, if you're blessed, now listen to this because this is going to sound weird. If you're blessed by God, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you can expect being blessed by God. But just because you're being blessed by God doesn't mean that you're a Christian. Because I've given all these examples of how the indirect blessings of God can come upon people of all kinds. So don't confuse being blessed by God as being right with God. Don't be confused being blessed by God as being right with God. Your blessings may just be because you're in the right place at the right time around the right people. Don't let, and here's a key, and I believe everyone in here probably already has a personal relationship with Christ. I'm preaching to the choir this morning, like they say. But this will apply to people that we all know. Don't let the comforts of this world, because we got all these blessings around us, even if we're not a Christian, don't let the comforts of this world provide you with a false sense of security of heaven for when you leave this world. And there might be people who think that. They think, you know what, I got tons of money. I got a beautiful home. I got fancy cars. I got a wonderful job. My family has got all these wonderful things. Nobody gets sick. I must be being blessed by God. It's possible that you're getting God's blessings in an indirect way and not necessarily a direct way. While blessings from God can be direct or indirect, it's not the same with salvation. Being born to Christian parents doesn't make you a Christian. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Owning a Bible, reading a Bible, or memorizing the Bible doesn't make you a Christian. We all know that Satan and his angels, they know the Bible pretty well. They can quote it anytime. Writing a check to the church and putting it in the offering does not make you a Christian. Here's my point. We're not ever indirectly saved. We're not ever indirectly saved. So how do we become saved? How do we become a Christian? Well, we all know this. We confess our sin. We repent. We believe in Jesus. We accept his offer of salvation. Then we'll be a child of God, and then we'll start receiving direct blessings from God as he decides to do that. As I close here, I'm just going to mention something that I've been saying for the last several months. When we were doing Facebook Live only, and then as we come back into the building, I've been ending every message with this phrase, be blessed and be a blessing. I'll say, now go and be blessed and be a blessing. You've heard that now several times. But I don't want that just to be a catchy phrase like, oh, well, that was cute. I really have been meaning that as something real important. In fact, long before I was saying it at the end of a message, I would end emails to people, text to people with that very phrase. I felt like what God was wanting me to say to these folks when I'm finished speaking is two things. One is the be blessed means to be received from God. Receive his blessings. Direct blessings from God. And then the next part is, and then be a blessing. Well, that's the giving to someone else. That's the indirect way that folks can be blessed by God, is after we have received, now we give. So that's that whole idea of being blessed and being a blessing. Next week, I just wanted to tell you, give you a little heads up, no pun intended, but I started off with a coin for today's message. Next week, I'm going to bring this coin back out again because it does have heads and it does have tails. That'd be another way to describe this coin. For the last 3 weeks, I have had the privilege and honor, and it's been super easy to do, to talk about the blessings of God. When we first opened up Deuteronomy chapter 30, it said, if through God or through Moses, God was telling the people of Israel, choose life, choose blessings, and everything will go great. That was heads. But this same coin, next week I'm going to flip over and we're going to look at the tails side. We're going to go back to chapter 30 of Deuteronomy. Because if you remember that, it said, I'm giving you a choice, folks. It's either life or death. It's either blessings, heads, or curses, tails. It's either life or death, blessings or curses. And so next week, what I need to do, just so that we look at the coin every direction, is next week we're going to be looking at the curses if we don't choose life and don't get blessings. So this is a good one for us to hear too. It'll be hard to hear. It'll be hard to preach. But we have to preach the whole Word of God, don't we? Yeah. Cindy, what song do we have to close with today?
God is so good. 65.
Okay, God is so good, page 55.